Certainly want to begin by saying what a privilege and pleasure it is to have this opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. And we have, of course, been looking forward to being with you. I appreciate very much the opportunity the Lord has given me to speak to you this morning. And I've turn to a portion of scripture here where I want to take one verse for a text, and that one verse has 35 words in it, but I want to deal with three of the words of those 35 primarily because of what they mean to us. They're wonderful. And if I didn't use anything but those three words for a text, that would be sufficient. But I do have some things I want to say about the other words that's spoken of in the text. That text is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and it's verse 1. And it says this, "But now thus saith the Lord." Now I'm going to stop right there, because now I'm going to say something to you, and I'm going to borrow this from somebody, because I've heard Elder Will Martin say this about what that says, and I agree with it and I like it, and I'm going to say it again, if it's okay, Brother Will.
Yes, sir.
Any scripture you read from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to Revelation 22:21 is a "thus saith the word of the Lord," because it is all inspired of God. And it's the words of the Lord to his children that have been given life and are born again. It is not to the alien sinner to find Jesus and find God, because he wouldn't find them if he read it. Some of them read it and don't find it. It's not what it's for. It's God's holy, inspired, infallible word. But when a scripture says, "But now thus saith the Lord," what that says to you and what that says to me is, perk your ears. You ever seen a dog that would be asleep in the yard and you clap your hand and he jumps up and he perks up his ears? See what that was? You ever seen a deer out across the field and he hears a noise and he's grazing maybe something on the ground and he hears it and raises his head and he perks his ears?
Yes.
That's what this means. When a scripture says, "Thus saith the word of the Lord," you better pay attention to what it is that the Lord said. Let's see what he says. "But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel." Now I want to stop right there just a minute and talk about that. God created us. God formed us. Now, I don't know whether you've ever had the opportunity or not, but I have, and I recommend it if you ever get a chance to. There was a display one time in Atlanta on the human body. And it gave a detailed analysis of every part and function of our human body. It's amazing. If you study it, it's a miracle how the human body works and how it's made. It's not just a happenstance. It's not just created from some explosion and it just happens. It is a miracle from God. And this scripture tells me that God created me and that He made me. And there's been a lot of controversy recently, especially in Georgia, on the issue of abortion. In Georgia right now, and you can have an abortion up to 20 weeks. They're fixing to pass a law that cuts it down to about 6 weeks. Why 6 weeks? That's about the time that a doctor can listen to a baby in the womb of its mother and hear a heartbeat. Well, that's well and good as far as I'm concerned. I approve of that, but it's not enough because life begins at conception. Why? Because it's the Lord that created you. It's the Lord that forms you in the womb when you're conceived in the womb of your mom or your mother. And conception is the beginning of life, not the heartbeat. It doesn't go back far enough, is what I'm saying. To allow an abortion in the second or third or fourth week is still, as far as Virgil Heron is concerned, taking the life of a human being.
That's right.
And God said, "Thou shalt not kill." That's good enough for me. That's all I want to say about that. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." And then he closes with these three words, which is what I want to deal with this morning. "Thou art mine." What a phrase. Can you imagine? "Thus saith the Lord, Thou art mine." I'm telling you, how is it possible? How can it be that God would say in His Word, "Thou art mine"? We belong to God. We are His. Oh man, that's enough right there to just blow your mind, that the God of heaven and earth, the supreme sovereign ruler that created this earth, that created you and formed you and made you the miracle that you are, said, "Thou art mine." What a scripture. "Thus saith the Lord, Thou art mine." What an honor and a privilege it is to have the evidence in your life that you're born of God's Spirit and you are His. You belong to Him. He purchased you with the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now we want to take a look at some scripture this morning from our text on "Thou art mine." Why are we God's? Well, I'm not going to have time to get over all these, but I want to go over all of them with you. We're His because He elected us and chose us. Not because you chose Him, not because you accepted Him, not because you decided to be His. It's because He elected and chose to be His. Another reason we're His is because He declares in His Word that He is our Father. And you gentlemen who are fathers and have children know that they are yours. And if God is our Father, then we are His. Thou art mine. We are His because He is our Father. We are His because we became His at some point. How did we become His? Because He made us His. He also tells us in the Scripture that after we become His, eternally and spiritually, He gives us the ability with the Spirit that He's placed within us to manifest in this timely world that we are the children of God. And by being followers of Jesus Christ and serving Him, others will see your good works. And the Scripture says, not glorify you for your good works, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because it's because He has given you this Spirit within you that enables you to follow after Him. You manifestly become known to others as a child of God. What a privilege. What an honor. We are His by faith. By faith in His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, we are and belong to God. We're His because we have received the Spirit of adoption, the Scripture says. He has adopted us into His family. You see, we fell in Adam. And when we inherited the nature of Adam, we became dead to spiritual things. But He gives us the Spirit that enables us to have faith in Him and faith in His Son. You see, faith is one of the ninefold fruits of the Spirit of God. Well, you can't have faith in God without the Spirit of God that faith is a fruit of. That's about like me coming up here with an orange this morning and said I went to L.A.J. and I picked this orange off an apple tree over there. You'd look at me like I was crazy. Because you can't pick an orange off of an apple tree. It's an apple that is a fruit of an apple tree. And you can't have faith in God unless you have the Spirit of God, for which faith is a fruit of that Spirit.
Amen.
We're His because He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He set our destination at some point between conception in our mother's womb and the end of our life to be adopted into the family of God. And that's God's appointed time when that happens. I don't have anything to do with it. Billy Graham doesn't have anything to do with it. No one else has anything to do with it. That's God's time. And you are passive when you receive that from God. He predestinated you unto the adoption of children. I won't have time to get over all the scriptures that tell us all of those things, but we're going to hit a few. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, it says in chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, "Ye are the children of the Lord, your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth." Now I'm going to say one thing about that scripture. Now that particular scripture is speaking of the nation Israel. But the nation Israel is a type of and a shadow of spiritual Israel. And spiritual Israel is all that God the Father chose and elected before the world began to be His. He chose them out from among Adam's race. And we are His because He chose us to be His. He elected us to be His. And He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, here to redeem you from your sins. Which is another thing. It says in chapter verse 1 of chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah, He is our Redeemer. He has redeemed us. He's rescued us and redeemed us from the sins that we're in. We're His because He chose us to be His. We'll find in the book of Ezekiel, tells us that we became His. We'll begin there at verse 8 of chapter 16. "But when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love." When God reached down and rescued you from the fallen state you were in Adam, it was an act of love that God the Father had for you. That's why the scriptures in the book of Little John could say that we love Him because He first loved you. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, and I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee and saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. God reached down, rescued you from the fallen state of death and trespasses and in sin, and gave you life. Didn't offer it to you, because if He'd offered it to you for you to accept it, you would have no will to accept it. That's about like me going out to the graveyard and offering a man that's dead in the graveyard, "I'm going to offer you life. All you got to do is accept it." He ain't going to accept nothing. He's dead. He's got to have life for there to be any reaction from Him. Same way spiritually. You can't react spiritually Secondly, when you're dead in trespasses and in sin, you must have life. And God is the only, you hear me? The only author and giver of life. It comes from no other source. It comes from God. Thou becamest mine, he said. And then in verse 9 he said, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with the badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee with the ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on the forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Yes, God, we are his because God made us his.
Right.
That's why we're his. That's why he could say, thou art mine. It's the work of God. It's not your work. It's not my work. It's not Billy Graham's work. It's the work of God. Now in the book of John, and this is the best of all the scriptures about being able to become a son of God. After God makes you his, after God quickens you and gives you life, he enables you then here in time, which is critical for every one of us here in time to become the Son of God. What does that mean, to become the Son of God? For others to see and know and see how you act, that you are the children of God. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, he says, he was in the world, speaking of Jesus, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I'm going to stop right there, because a lot of people will take that scripture right there and say, you've got to believe on the name of Jesus to become the child of God. But they don't read that. They take that out of context when they say that. They take that verse out of context because they do not read on down and see who it is that he gave the ability to become the Son of God. Who were they? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the question is, who did he give the ability to become the sons of God? Those that God had already born again of his Spirit. And that's a glorious privilege we have, children of God, to be able to manifestly declare, and that others may see our good works and know that you are a child of the living God. It ain't gonna get you a home in heaven. Jesus has already purchased that for you. But it will benefit you for what time you live here in this world. Tremendously. Book of Romans, beginning there at in verse chapter 8, beginning there at verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. A son of God is someone who's led by the Spirit of God. How'd he become the son of God? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, you go to deep, dark Africa, and you find a man down there knows nothing about the Lord, knows nothing about Jesus, never read a scripture. Doesn't know anything about the book of Hebrews, book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 1. But yet he is bowing down to a sovereign, supreme being and praying to something. Why? Because he's been adopted into the family of God and he has the Spirit of God within him that convicts him and tells him he's a sinner, and he cries out unto God, God have mercy upon me, a sinner. He's going to heaven. Not because he said that, but because God has done something for him that gives him that Spirit. That's why. He is God because God has made him his and adopted him into the family of God. One other scripture I'm going to take, and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Will to preach to you. We'll find in the book of Ephesians that we are his and that he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. There it is, election. He chose us. He elected us. We're his because he chose us. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How are we going to be holy and without blame before him in love? Because of what his son Jesus Christ did when he came here and fulfilled the law to a jot and tittle and imputed that righteousness to you when he quickened you and gave you life. And on the cross took your sins and my sins and paid them. And God accepted that payment in behalf of all that God the Father had given to him. Then he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now listen to that. Not to the good pleasure of your will, not according to the day that you decided to come down the aisle and accept Jesus as your Savior. No, it was according to the good pleasure of the will of God. And God himself hath given you eternal life, child of God. Praise him, honor him, and worship him for salvation that is of the Lord. Back to our text. But now, thus saith the Lord. Prick your ears. Thus saith the Lord. Listen to what he says. That created thee, O Jacob, that formed thee. Realize and understand that you are the miracle that you are in the body that you are in by the creation and the forming of God himself. God created you. He formed thee Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. We have a fear because we know we're sinners. We know we fall short of the glory of God. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And we are his because he chose us and loved us before the world begun. And we're his because he adopted us into his family and made us to be his children. And we're his because by faith in Jesus Christ, we have the ability to show ourselves to be the children of God by the things that we do here in time. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. And I pray for Elder Martin as he comes to preach to you.